This podcast is brought to you by Joy sponsor Pam Ann.
Hello, Melbourne. It's Pam Ann here. I'm so excited. I'm going to be touching down at the Comedy Theatre in August. See you soon. I love you, Melbourne. Mwah.
Set to land in Melbourne this August for two hilarious shows, Friday, August 24 and Saturday, August 25. Get your tickets now at ticketmaster.com.au.
Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
It's Tuesday, the 17th of April. Welcome to your nightly news and current affairs show, The Informer. I'm your host, Tom Morgan. Tonight on the show, we find out about the Trans Homelessness Project in Western Australia that is not only creating strong pathways for trans youth in Perth, but showing how organisations can come together to create strong support for those further marginalised in our communities. We speak to Anthony Wayne, the winner of Mr. Diamond Australia, and we cross to the final days of the Commonwealth Games and find out why people are hailing it as the most inclusive and diverse event our nation has ever held.
This is The Informer, Joy's nightly news and current affairs program. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS us on 0427 Joy 949, email on air at joy.org.au or add us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
Danny Wright Toussaint is the project worker at Perth Inner City Youth Services, who are the lead organisation in the Trans Homelessness Project in Western Australia. The Trans Homelessness Project is a joint initiative of Perth Inner City Youth Services, Trans Folk of WA, and Connect Groups. Funded by the City of Vincent, the project aims to develop referral pathways for homeless trans people in WA and to promote peer support in the local area. Danny spoke to Dean Arcuri to not only let us know about the Trans Homelessness Project, but to discuss how these organisations came together and the way in which the need for these kinds of crossed pathways builds stronger support for homeless youth in our marginalised communities.
Perth Inner City Youth Services have been working with trans and gender diverse or all LGBTI young people for many years. And I suppose they saw the opportunity to partner with such great partner groups, and Trans Folk of WA are obviously the key volunteer-run support organisation for trans and gender diverse folk in WA. And they are a member of Connect Groups. Connect Groups is an organisation that basically has a whole range of member groups, which are all peer support and self-help related groups, which includes things like Trans Folk of WA and PFLAG WA and Bisexual Community Perth and stuff like that.
These organisations have been working together for a while in a less formal capacity, but in coming together in this way, they're not only raising awareness, but creating a stronger network of support for homeless trans youth in Western Australia.
Came from a range of perspectives. Perth Inner City Youth Services have always seen a higher demand or need from trans and gender diverse young people seeking their services, as well as things like the Trans Pathways research, which showed that 22% of the trans and gender diverse young participants experienced issues with accommodation. And also, of course, anecdotally through the networks at Trans Folk of WA, we knew that was something that was an ongoing issue. And anecdotally, I think a lot of trans and gender diverse support services and groups and stuff have been seeing that sort of being disproportionately represented as an issue that trans and gender diverse folk are facing. The goal is to increase the appropriate referrals for trans and gender diverse young people experiencing homelessness, link them in a more accessible way. So one of the ways that PHIS is doing that is having a peer-based drop-in space once a month that's sort of a spin-off that's trans-specific from their regular drop-in for young people experiencing homelessness. So that's called Base Camp Agenda. And it's also about me being able to be a bit of a sort of familiar presence between the groups of trans folk and Perth Inner City Youth Services, so that I suppose people feel more confident and comfortable and can anticipate a competent service when they know the face or one of the people that is working. It makes it obviously a lot easier for people to feel like they can, I suppose, muster the courage to access a service. Because one of the things that we do know about trans and gender diverse young people's experience with homelessness is that they're more likely to be street present and more likely to anticipate and or experience actual discrimination when accessing homelessness services. So being able to really make sure that Perth Inner City Youth Services is sort of going over and above and taking an equitable approach to make sure that trans and gender diverse young people feel confident and safe to access the service is really important.
While there is data that clearly shows us that we need to do more to create a safe environment for trans and gender diverse young people who are homeless or don't feel safe in their home environment, how are our current support services not meeting their needs?
I mean, there's obviously broad range issues like the culture that we have being really binary centred and exclusionary of transgender diverse people, particularly non-binary people. And again, Trans Pathways showed that I think 48% of the trans and gender diverse young people surveyed were actually identifying as non-binary. So that's obviously a huge portion of the population. So often homelessness services are really gendered spaces. So that's not always the case. And we're seeing more and more sort of individualised options, but that's certainly an issue, sort of cultural issue that's in our society generally, but really, I suppose, like a magnifying glass applies in a really gendered space like an accommodation service, and or at least things like bathrooms are, even if they're sort of individualised rooms or apartments that might be supported accommodation services, then if they're the facilities that have gendered other spaces like, bathrooms and stuff. But commonly there'll be sort of a boys' girl and a boys' wing and a girls' wing, and that obviously is problematic for a lot of trans and gender diverse young people, especially non-binary people, or even just for binary identified trans people who, depending on where they're at in terms of being out or transitioning or just their comfort with different spaces, and also obviously with trans and gender diverse people experiencing higher rates of gender-based violence and gendered spaces can be a lot more scary and less safe. This has been, I think, one of the most formal arrangements that we've come together, but it's certainly in terms of like networks and relationships that's been more ongoing for a few years. And I think there was some previous attempts to sort of seek out funding around this sort of work in the last couple of years. But yeah, this has been the really first time that's been able to put more formally into a project with some funding attached to it. Perth Inner City Youth Services have been providing really targeted and equitable services to trans and gender diverse people for many, many years. And this, I suppose, is a bit of a reinvigoration of that, you know, in a new approach and with a really good formalised partnership with Trans Folk of WA and Connect Group. So it's a great opportunity. So it is a City of Vincent grant that's gotten us the opportunity to, I suppose, resource this. And that's because Perth Inner City Youth Services and Trans Folk of WA and therefore Connect Group do have City of Vincent is one of the key sites that they provide services in. So, that's a fairly central council area in Perth, and that's where we've been located.
Having a key person like Danny across the organisations that understands what is needed to make positive change is helping to make all the difference. But also having a person who identifies outside the gender binary that's a part of all aspects of the Trans Homelessness Project helps to take a big step forward in creating a strong connection for trans youth to reach out at the same time.
I think it's about being visible in our equitable approaches for quite marginalised and disadvantaged population. So having a peer like me as a non-binary person means that people can anticipate that it's a space where trans and gender diverse people are going to be more accepted and understood. And then we do take a peer-based approach to that drop-in space, even though the rest of the services, I suppose, more casework youth work for supporting young people in the various household network services that Perth Inner City Youth Services. But that peer-based approach really, in a range of contexts, has been proven to really make things more sort of culturally competent to marginalised groups and therefore more accessible.
While this project is based only in the City of Vincent, Danny said they hope it would have wide-reaching effect, not only in Western Australia, but in changing the practices used to work together and create stronger support services for all.
The project itself has a couple of elements, and one of them is that we are actually implementing an LGBTI peer support toolkit that Connect Groups and Trans Folk of WA had been developing already, and this kind of has, I suppose, given the different partners the ability to have an opportunity to resource implementing it at Transfolk and Perth Inner City Youth Services. So it's a great opportunity to use a more generalised toolkit to kind of trial it and implement it in a way that is working to make sure that that peer support toolkit is ideal for when it's launched in a couple of months as well. The LGBTI peer support toolkit that Connect Groups and Transfolk have been developing is a really user-friendly kind of guide and toolkit with sort of tools and resources that's adaptation of Curtin University's MyTier toolkit, which was a toolkit for supporting services to provide peer-based mental health promotion services. But what they've done is taken that MyTier toolkit and made it a little bit more LGBTI and volunteer group run friendly, so that it sort of is, I suppose, a little less laborious and definitely more concise and easier to pick up when you're a volunteer and start or improve a peer support service. So that's what has already been developed and is being implemented through this project as well.
That was Dean Arcurie speaking with Danny Wright Toussaint from the Trans Homelessness Project in Western Australia. If you are in Perth and are someone who needs to reach out for support, you can email Danny, D-A-N-I, @ picys.org.au, or get in contact via Perth Inner City Youth Services, where the entire team are experienced with connecting and communicating with trans and gender diverse young people.
There is still more to come on Joy's The Informer, the news program from an LGBTI perspective.
Now on Joy, we speak with the winner of Mr. Diamond Australia, a pageant for anyone. It's not about beauty, but diversity, changing industry standards and celebrating the uniqueness in us all. Dean Arcurie speaks to this year's winner, a gay man from Victoria, Anthony Wayne.
And the charity that I've chosen to support is Switchboard Victoria. They provide free counselling support services to the LGBTIQ, the gay, lesbian and transsexual communities, their friends and family. I've chosen to support this charity as I know that somewhere out there, right now, is a young girl, a young boy, a young person who is holding on to a secret. They're feeling vulnerable, they're feeling all alone. The fear of rejection weighs heavily on their mind. Rejection from friends, rejection from family. I know this as I've experienced this myself. The Switchboard is a safe space where they can call or they can connect online and they can speak to someone without the fear of rejection, without the fear of discrimination.
Well, I'd had some involvement with previous pageants before, the pageant within the LGBTIQ community. So I'd seen as a stage manager the journey that the other contestants had gone on and their growth, building their confidence. And it looked like such an exciting experience and opportunity to get involved with. So I wanted to convert my knowledge from being a stage manager and move across to then getting on stage myself. It's nerve-wracking, but that's the whole part of the experience, to put yourself out there, put yourself out of your comfort zone and then build on that confidence. That's the whole point.
The Mr. Diamond Australia pageant is more than just a beauty pageant. They don't judge on looks and have no size, weight or height limits, and they celebrate the beauty and diversity of everyone, saying it's time to change the industry standards. Anthony Wayne from Victoria was crowned Mr. Diamond 2018 at the pageant in Brisbane at the start of the month.
It's not just an LGBTI pageant. It's a pageant that welcomes everyone. It does celebrate diversity, and there's no age restrictions, no gender, no weight, no height. Everyone is welcome to join the pageant. It's more about people's values that it's based upon, whether they accept you into the pageant, whether your values align with the pageant's values.
A pageant sounds nerve-wracking enough, but when you're part of one that specifically celebrates your differences, it changes the playing field where everyone is on equal footing. That makes it anyone's game.
You know, in my category, I know the competition was very tough and we're all so different. There were so many different personalities within us, and we all had different strengths, different weaknesses. It could have been anyone's game.
As part of being Victoria's finalist in the title, Anthony raised funds for Switchboard Victoria, who provide a free, anonymous telephone and web-based counselling, information and referral service for the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer communities of Victoria and Tasmania.
So everyone that's in the pageant has to select a charity that they feel passionate about and that they feel is important to them. So I chose the Switchboard Victoria, being part of the LGBTIQ community myself. I thought that was an important charity to raise funds for. And also it was a chance to raise awareness about the services they provide as well. For me, like growing up, I never actually heard of Switchboard myself going through my own journey of coming out. I hadn't heard of Switchboard, and it had actually been around for 27 years now. So they were around at the time that I was coming out. So I thought that was really important to raise awareness in a wider platform, not just Victoria, but take that across to Australia and raise some awareness so that people that could be feeling vulnerable in the community, feeling unsure about their self when they're coming out, that they are aware of these services.
Partnering with QLife, Switchboard provides support Australia-wide, working towards better mental health and referrals for everyone in our communities. Anthony was nervous about sharing his personal story on stage, but it's a part of who he is, and standing up and being proud is something he wanted to do when entering the pageant in the first place.
I was quite nervous. It was sort of I had prepared the speech prior, and I was nervous because it was quite a big thing to stand up in front of a large audience and speak about my own coming out sort of experience and speak about something so close to my heart. Even though it was prepared, when I stood up there, even being prepared, I think the raw emotion still came out and it was quite hard. But I think that the judges wanted to see your vulnerabilities. They wanted to see rawness. They didn't want to see something scripted. I was very proud to be standing up there. In my category, there was another person from the LGBTIQ community. Possibly, there could be younger people in the pageant who could maybe also identify with that. So it's about being a role model to others in the community and continuing to create the awareness.
There's a lot of stigma that comes with entering pageants in today's day and age, with some people feeling they're an outdated space for title holders. It got us wondering how the current Mr. Diamond Australia feels about the relevance of pageants today.
Now that I've got that title, it's going to give me that platform to continue my work with Switchboard, continue raising awareness for them. But it's also now I had that title, so I can spread awareness, not just about Switchboard, but also I can represent the pageant and be speaking. It's going to give me new opportunities, like speaking with you now, to spread the word about my experience that I've had the pageant and encourage others that may be interested, encourage them to join as well. This pageant included a multiple of ages, from little kids, 6 years old, to, some of our older contestants were 50 plus. So I think it is still relevant. There's a lot of stigma with pageants, as you said. A lot of people these days do suffer from insecurities and confidence issues. Mental health is very big today. And also disability. We did have some people in the pageant with disabilities. So it's giving people that platform to feel good about themselves, feel beautiful. I think it's very relevant. The thing with the pageant as well for me was that a lot of people have that stigma, that feeling that a pageant would be very competitive. But for me, that's the thing that I will take away from this experience. The people and the friends that I now have met, everyone backstage was so encouraging of each other. I would come off stage after doing a round and the little kids would be there giving me high fives and fist pumps. It was that sort of environment, very supportive. And there was, all I witnessed was just such love and respect between all the contestants. And especially in my category as well, there was one part where all the other Mr. contestants, we went backstage and we practiced our speeches between each other and gave each other feedback. We're giving each other feedback on our outfits. It was very supportive.
I want to leave a final message to those listening now that you are not alone, but it does get better. There's so many people out there waiting to celebrate you, waiting to love you. Be proud of who you are. It is our differences in all of us that make us truly special. Thank you.
That was Dean Arcuri with Anthony Wayne, Mr. Diamond Australia 2018.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
The Commonwealth Games has come to an end, and while many focused on the closing ceremony or lack of closing ceremony, Ian Muchmore chose to focus his attention in a different way after reporting from the Gold Coast for The Informer. This year's Commonwealth Games has been hailed as the most inclusive event our nation has ever hosted, from the staff, the crowd, and the spaces filled with diversity. Ian speaks with Matt Hall from Pride House as he looks at LGBTIQA+ inclusivity in the 2018 Commonwealth Games.
It's the last day of the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast. It's almost 8 o'clock on a beautifully sunny, almost perfect Queensland Sunday morning. We've just seen the end of the wheelchair marathon, and coming up we have the women's marathon and the men's marathon. The message from the Commonwealth Games has been about inclusion and participation. And I'm doing my bit. I'm taking part in a fun run, the Gold Run, in about half an hour, where we run for 5 kilometres. There are about 6,000 participants. We've seen lesbian, gay, trans, bi and intersex participants in the Commonwealth Games. We've heard from the Games organisers that inclusion and diversity and equality is a central part of these Games. And we've also heard from current and former athletes about how being out affects their performance. We've also heard the concerns that homosexuality is still illegal in 36 Commonwealth countries, and that somehow the messages from the Commonwealth Games might be able to make a difference. On the last day of the Games, I'm asking, what difference has the Commonwealth Games made for LGBTI people?
Oh, I think it's given Pride House an opportunity to shine the light on LGBTI human rights. And as a community, we've looked at the LGBTI human rights of the Commonwealth, which aren't that impressive when you consider that 37 of 53 countries still criminalise homosexuality.
There's been quite a lot of controversy about Lauren. Have you
heard? Oh, I said no, I haven't heard any.
Oh, you haven't heard any controversy?
No.
Lauren's a transgender woman.
Okay.
The rules say quite clearly that she can compete, but some people have a problem with that. What do you think?
An issue with it. If the rules are saying that she's allowed to be there, then she's allowed to be there. She has every right to be there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if the rules say she's allowed to compete, why should she not be allowed to?
Gold Coast has had an opportunity to shine the light on LGBTI human rights issues, with 37 of the 53 countries in the Commonwealth still criminalising homosexuality. But from a more local perspective, I just think it's great that the Gold Coast was the first place in Australia to host a Pride House. We had daily events and we've had exhibitions and we've had panels and we've had opportunities to just talk about LGBTI community issues and most importantly raise awareness and education about the LGBTIQ community.
What were the highlights of Pride House for you, Matt?
The highlights of Pride House would have to be the numerous visitors that we've come through that would a high ranking, as in we had the CEO of the Commonwealth Games Federation, David Grevenberg, at our launch and really speak passionately about LGBTI human rights.
We spoke to him.
Yes, and we had a Minister for Sport from the Scottish Government come through as well, and it was a pleasure showing her around, and Scotland has hosted a Pride House. Mm-hmm. We had a member of the Canadian government come through and talk about Canada hosting a Pride House. We've had Sam Coffer, who's the president of the Australian Commonwealth Games Federation. We've had Tom Daly come through. He was in yesterday, and it's been a pleasure.
Tell us about Tom and Lance coming through yesterday. What happened? What was the engagement?
What happened yesterday was I was down on the door and Tom Daly's mother had come and spoken to me because we had a pride flag flying in the window and she asked what it's all about, and I was able to describe to her what Pride House is, and she'd heard of Pride House before coming from the UK. And she said that her son, who I would probably recognise as a famous Olympic LGBTI diver, is Tom Daly. And she invited him to, and his husband, to come and pop their head in and say hello. So Tom and his husband, Dustin Lance Black, both came over yesterday afternoon. They posed downstairs for a few moments with various paraphernalia advertising LGBTI Commonwealth. They were delightful. They poked their head upstairs and then went off to the diving finals. And then I believe they returned after they'd finished at the diving finals with their whole group of their friends.
Good on you.
We had Matthew Mitchum as well. Uh-huh. Matthew attended three events. Yeah, it was a pleasure that everyone came through that visited. We had straight people that came through that weren't aware of LGBTI issues, that felt that they'd had their education and awareness increased by visiting the site. But it was really having the VIPs, I think, come through and the traction that they get on social media. It was phenomenal. Our media reach, traditional and social media, have gone through the roof. We've had a far phenomenally wider reach and traction than what we ever would have predicted.
That was Ian Muchamore reporting from the Commonwealth Games and speaking to Matt Hall from Pride House.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
And that's it for another episode of The Informer, bringing you news and current affairs for Australia's LGBTI communities. A podcast of tonight's Informer will be available to download soon at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. Don't forget to follow us on social media at The Informer on Joy 94.9 on Facebook and at The Informer Joy on Twitter. If you have a story or tip you'd like to share with us, get in touch at theinformer@joy.org.au. You've been listening to The Informer on Joy 94.9. I'm Tom Morgan.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.